The Lord has been speaking to me for the last couple of months, and I've shared it. We've implemented some processes to incorporate what God has been talking to me about. But in a nutshell, what the Lord has been revealing to me and speaking to me about, specifically for 2018, is the fact that I'm not supposed to build a church. I'm supposed to build people. Not supposed to build a church. I'm supposed to build people. I'm not supposed to grow a church. I'm supposed to grow people. For when people grow and when people mature and when people become spiritually healthy, church growth will be a natural byproduct of that. Amen. And I thank God that he kind of realigned my vision a little bit, realigned my understanding a little bit, and in order to help us. How many know if you have a desire and God gives you a vision and you want to fulfill that vision, he'll tell you what you need to do in order to get there. Amen. He's not just going to tell you a vision then say figure it out yourself. But if you'll be led of the Spirit and pray and seek God and be sensitive to his voice, he'll tell you specifically what you need to do to get there. And I thank God for speaking to me about this and kind of getting my just my thoughts back into proper spiritual alignment and the understanding of building people and not building a church, growing people and not growing a church. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Who's going to build it? The Lord's going to build it. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So who is it that builds the church? The Lord builds the church. But how did he go about doing that? How did Jesus in flesh, how did he go about building the church, incorporating the church, starting the church, beginning the church? How did he do it? He called 12 men. And he got them close to him. And he invested in them for 3 years or so of his life, preparing them and equipping them to accomplish what he was going, or what he wanted to accomplish on the earth. He said, here's the vision. Here's what I want to do. Here's what the church is going to look like. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to get some guys around me and I'm going to invest into their lives. I'm going to equip people to build the church. So the pattern that Jesus set to grow the church was to train and equip people. And I believe that that's still the pattern today. Somebody said amen. I believe that's still the pattern today. I'm just going to kind of share with you a little bit and talk with us a little bit. I don't know how this is all going to come out, but I just want to just talk to you from my heart about where I feel the church is and where, what we're trying to accomplish and why we're trying to accomplish it. Still the pattern today. The Apostle Paul would echo this pattern of growing people when it says, when he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. He said, there's only certain things I can do, and there's only certain things that Apollos can do. He said, we can plant, we can water. What is that? That's equip, that's train, that's pouring into people. But he says, but then God is going to give the increase. God's the one that's going to build the church. God's the one that's going to grow the church. If we plant and if we water, then God's going to step in and he's going to grow the church. I say it again, we can't build a church, but we can build people. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, some claim that he started 14 churches during his lifetime. Some say that that number was closer to 20 churches. Some say that it was even more than that. But what I found so interesting and revelatory, Brother Ron, here's a guy that possibly started 20 or 30 churches. And what I found so revelatory is that when you read Paul's writings, he never talks about growing churches. He never talks about how to make a church bigger. He never talks about, hey, your church right now is you know, this many people, but you need to get it to this many people. And you know, here's what you got to do. He never talks about growing churches and building churches. But when you read the writings in the New Testament, you'll find that they are filled with instructions that focus on the growth of people. The growth of people. He didn't talk to the church at Thessalonica about how to make their church bigger. But he did talk to them about allowing their love to increase. He did talk to them and tell them, you need to be blameless. You need to be holy. You need to live in such a way as to please God. He didn't talk about growing churches, but he did tell them, you need to avoid sexual immorality. to avoid wronging your brother and to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to respect spiritual authority, encourage those that are timid, to help the weak, to be patient with everybody, to be kind one to another. This is what he talked to the church about. He didn't talk about growing church and all this kind of stuff. He talked about what needed to happen in order to grow people. And through this type of teaching, 14 or 20 or even more churches were planted and grew for the glory of God. Why? Because the emphasis was placed upon the growth of the people and not upon the numbers growth of the church. Oh, hallelujah. And so God's helping us now. God's helping me, and I hope through me there's going to be some changes, and we're doing some things right, but we need to do better. I need to do better in other areas as it applies to this. And with God's help, we're going to in 2018. The book says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and it's talking about the fivefold ministry. It says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. And some pastors and some teachers. It's the fivefold ministry. Why did he give those to the church? Verse 12 tells us. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the edifying of the body of Christ. Now we've shared, leave that verse up there, please. We've shared this with you before, but I think it bears repeating and reminding us about this. But in the original, there should not be a comma after saints. In the original writing, there was no comma after saints, because the way it looks here is that the fivefold ministry has three jobs. Pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and have three jobs, that we're to perfect the saints, that we're to do the work of the ministry, and that we're to edify the body of Christ. But that's not what it says. In the original, that verse, that comma after saints is taken out. What it says is this: he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So what is it saying? It's saying we need to equip the saints. We need to train the saints. We need to grow the saints of the Most High so that they in turn can do the work of the ministry, so that they in turn can edify the body of Christ. Oh, somebody said amen. So that's the job of fivefold ministry. That's the job of the pastors, is to equip the saints, train the saints. I truly believe that every single person under the sound of my voice has a ministry that God has called you to do. I believe that with everything within me. Even if you don't believe it about yourself, I believe it about you. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you have a function. There's no part of the body that is without function. Every part of the body has function. You have a function in the body of Christ. You are supposed to be doing something for the body of Christ. You are supposed to be doing something in the kingdom of God. You have a ministry that, hear me, only you can do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I don't want you to ever think in your mind, well, I know what God's called me to do, but I've got this reason and I got this excuse for not doing it. And if I don't do it, somebody else will. You've been called to do that. Somebody might be able to come in and try to do it, but they're not going to do it as near as good as what you can do it, because you're the only one that can do it. Just got quiet there. There's responsibility now. We understand the responsibility. You're the only one that can do what God has called you to do in order to fulfill your particular place in the body of Christ. And we desire with everything within us to help and edify and train and equip you to do what God has called you to do, so and to be what God has called you to be. Because what you have been called to do is vital. It is important. It is absolutely necessary if we are going to witness the revival that God has promised us. We need everybody. I said, we need everybody. Somebody shout, everybody. We need everybody working. We need everybody doing. We need everybody fulfilling your call. We need you operating in your God-called position. In fact, the Greek word, it's kind of a long one. I'm not going to say it right, I'm sure, but katartismon. Can you do better? Thank you. Katartismon, which is translated equip in the verse that we just read in Ephesians. Katartismon is the word equip in Ephesians. But it is used again in its verb form, which is katartizo in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, I think this is powerful. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, it's the same word, only here it is in its verb form. It's action form. Verb. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending or catartizoing their nets. And he called them. What were they doing? Now think with me. I need your minds here. They were equipping their nets to accomplish what a net was supposed to accomplish. And how were they equipping it? They were equipping it by mending it. They were mending this net in order that it would accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. It is the will of God for this church to be a place where mending happens. Oh, hallelujah. It's the will of God for this to be a place and this to be a church and there to be services and prayer meetings and meetings of other sorts where people that have a desire and a knowledge that I've been equipped to do something for God. I've got a purpose. But I've got some areas in my life that are broken. I got some areas in my life. I've got some holes in my life. But it's the will of God for us as a people and as leadership, but also as a whole, as a church, for this to be a place where mending happens, where hearts are mended and minds are mended and spirits are mended and relationships are mended and emotions are mended so that that person then can function in the ministry that God called them to function in and do what God called them to do. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. How many? You can't catch too many fish if there's a bunch of holes in the net. You can't do it. You can throw it out. You can reel it in and drag it in, but them fish are going to get right through the holes. But man, when you begin to mend those things and you begin to patch up those things, all of a sudden you're able to accomplish so much more. Oh, hallelujah. You're able to be that much more effective. And that's what the will of God is for this church in 2018. It is the will of God for us and leadership and the Spirit of God and the presence of God and the anointing of God to mend those things, those holes in our lives, those issues in our lives, those struggles in our lives, those doubts and unbelief in our lives that are keeping us from doing everything that God called us to do and keeping us from accomplishing everything God called us. Oh, there's somebody in this room right now that says, I know I'm made for something more than this. I know I've been created for something greater than this, but I just don't see the fruits of it. I just don't see like I'm being effective, like I feel like I should be effective. Why is it? Because there's holes in your life. But with God's help, we're going to begin to mend those things, and we're going to begin to put those things back together, and there's going to be some healing that happens, and there's going to be some wholeness that happens, and you're going to begin to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. Come on, if you want that to happen in your life, I wonder if you could just lift your hands. Come on, somebody lift your hands right now. Just tell the Lord, I want it to happen in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I think here's the crux of what I feel like the Lord would want me to deliver this evening. Because there has to be an understanding that the only way this is going to work, this mending, this training, this equipping process, the only way this is going to work is it has to be a two-way street. For I, as I've already told you, I have to do better as pastor at training and equipping the precious saints of God that he has entrusted for me to watch over. But conversely, the precious saints of God have to be willing to be submitted to the equipping. They have to have a hunger to be equipped. They have to have a desire to be taught. They have to have a desire to grow. In fact, title of my message tonight, if I were to title it, would say, come grow with us. 2018, it's the will of God for us to grow. And I want as many people as possible to come grow with us. But there has to be a hunger, there has to be a passion that says, I want to be trained, I want to be equipped, I want to be led, I want somebody to show me what I don't know. I want somebody to show me the way more clear. And when they show me the way, I'm going to be submitted to it. And when they say things that I don't necessarily agree with, I'm going to be submitted with an understanding that they've been down some roads I haven't been down. And they know some things I don't know. And they've seen some things I've never seen before. And I'm going to trust them that God has placed them over me to love me and equip me and train me. And they don't have any other ulterior motives other than to usher me into the place of the fullness of potential spiritually that God has called me to walk in. So there has to be a hunger to grow. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you willing to grow? Now that's a little bit deeper question than, that's a deeper question now. Paul mentored, Paul trained, Paul equipped Timothy, but he also trained, mentored, and equipped Demas. Timothy became his son in the gospel and accomplished great things for the Lord, but the Bible says that Demas forsook Paul. Because Demas was more concerned about the things of the flesh. Had his eyes on the things of the world. He was more concerned about what he could get and what was in it for him. What he could accomplish. This is the Apostle Paul now. If anybody could mentor, it was the Apostle Paul. And even the Apostle Paul had some people that he wanted to equip that weren't willing to follow after it because they weren't submitted to the equipping process. Because somewhere within Demas' spirit, there was an attitude that says, I don't want to grow beyond where I am. I don't want to move beyond where I am. I don't want to pursue greater than where I am. In fact, I want to just, I don't even really want any of those things. I want what's in it for me. So yes, there needs to be intentionality as it applies to equipping people for ministry, but those being equipped must also want it more than that which would please their flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There has to be a desire in all of our hearts. God, I want to grow beyond the place where I am right now. I want to move beyond the place where I've been for months. I want to move beyond the place I've been for years. I want to grow beyond this place. I'm in a rut. I've been in this same spiritual plateau for years and maybe even decades. But God, I want to grow. I want to move forward. I want to pursue after the things of you like I've never pursued after you before. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. There has to be some spiritual We're just tired. Can't think of the word. We're just tired of where we are. We're tired of doing the same things week in and week out. We're tired of just coming to the house of God and doing the same thing every Sunday and the same thing every Thursday. We're tired of just living our spiritual life the same way week in and week out, week in and week out. And there's no joy there and there's no spiritual stories there. There's no excitement there. There's no vibrancy there. Just the same old, same old. There needs to be somebody in this 2018 that rises up and says, God, I want to grow. I want to move forward. I want to pursue you like I've never pursued you before. I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing to move forward. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to make any sacrifice necessary. Oh, hallelujah. We told you about The minister's training class we're going to have once a month. And as we get in that for a little while, we're so excited. We're going to be launching some video training things. And you can actually watch these videos and learn from them and take tests and get certificates of completion and so many different categories. There's going to be so much stuff we're going to pour into those people. But let me tell you something. If you don't show up for that class, don't tell me you want to do something for God. I know that was a little strong, but I've had several of you come to me and say, Pastor, I wish you would pour into my life. I wish you would speak into my life. I wish you would help me with this. I wish you would help me with that. Okay, well, this is me trying to do that. Oh, hallelujah. So these are the things. These are the things of importance. These are the things God's speaking to us about. And if you want to be used, you're going to make some sacrifices. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Got quiet here now. If you want to be used, you're going to have to make sacrifices. If you want to do something great for God, it's going to require you to do things that you have never done before. If you're going to accomplish something you've never accomplished before. And so, here's why all this matters. And here's why I wanted to talk about this. I want you to consider with me the following statistics. It was a research project done, and they interviewed church leaders and pastors and ministers. And they asked them questions concerning these pastors' churches and these ministers' churches and people that they lead. And here was some of the results that came from those questions. 83% of these pastors said that their people were content in their Christian faith. 83% were content. We don't want to grow. We're content with where we are. We're satisfied with where we are. 83%. 69% said that more than 70% of their congregational members do not even assess their spiritual journey. They don't even think about their journey. They don't even talk about it. They don't even think about it. They don't even consider that God desires for them to move forward in the things of God. They don't even consider the fact. They're just here. They show up for church. They do their thing. They check in. They check out. They don't even put thought to the fact that God wanted them to grow. 60% of church leaders said that more than 60% of their members do not have an accurate view of biblical truths. More than 60%. Do not have an accurate view of biblical truths. More than 60% of the church leaders said that more than 60% of their members in their churches do not have an accurate view of their personal spiritual growth. They believe they're growing, but they put little to no effort at all in their growth. They believe they're growing because they show up to church on Sunday. They believe they're growing because they show up to church on Thursday. They believe they're growing because they drop a few dollars in the offering plate. But how many know that doesn't mean we're growing? 60% did not have an accurate view of their own personal journey, spiritual growth. Next one is this. 53% of church leaders, when interviewed, said that more than 60% of their members do not have a daily devotional life, nor are they devoted to growing their spiritual lives. 60% of them do not have a daily devotional with the Lord. 60%. Now hear me. Now, I don't know what pastors they interviewed, and I would pray that those statistics would be higher in this church. But if those statistics are true, then that shows us that well over half of the church members are not growing. That's scary now. Over half of the church members are not growing. More importantly, over half of the church members don't have a desire to grow. Don't run the aisles all at once now. It's a little sobering, isn't it? Over 60%, over half the church don't even have a desire to grow in the things of God, and we just keep doing what we're doing. Now, before we deflect that last statement and that I just made about church members not wanting to grow, before we deflect that and say, well, he's talking about somebody else, he's not talking about me. The book says this. Can we just get real here tonight? Okay. Here's what the book says. I just want to help us to understand where we are. We've said this before, but how many know you're not going to be able to know where you're going if you first don't know where you are? You got to first know where you're at before you can start going somewhere. So here we go. Because we read all these statistics, and if you were like me, we'd probably, you know, wanted to, well, that's not me. I grow. Okay. The book says this, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. It doesn't say do some things. It says do all things without murmuring and disputing. So that lets us know, hear me now, that those that have been in the church the longest should complain the least. If we were growing and we've been in church a long time, and those statements of not growing, that those don't apply to me because I've been in church forever. Okay, if we have, then that verse, that should let us know that those that have been in church the longest should be complaining the least. So then you have to ask yourself the question, can that be said about you? Man, it's quiet here tonight. The book says this in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Is that what the book says? So that lets us know that those that have been in the church the longest should be serving the body greater than anybody else. So now all of a sudden, if we see this and we realize, man, I've been in church for 20 years, but I very rarely serve the body. The point I'm trying to make is for us to then look at ourselves and understand, okay, maybe there's something within me where I vocally say I want to grow, but I don't actually grow. And I haven't grown for years. Because if I've been in the church for years and years and years and years, and I say that I've been in this thing for so long, then I should be leading the church in ministering to the body. The book says this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So that lets us know that those that have been in the church the longest should think about their own needs the least and upon the needs of others the most. Is that what it says? So now, let's ask that just to yourself now. Ask that about that to yourself. I've been in church 10 years. I've been in church 20 years. I've been in church for 30 years. Do I think about my needs the least and upon the needs of others the most? So these are just some barometers now. These are just some barometers and some tests that we can look at ourselves and we can say, okay, maybe I'm not growing like I thought I was growing. The book says this, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. So this lets us know that those that have been in church the longest should continue to have joy in the middle of suffering. So where do you land on that? In the middle of suffering, in the middle of loss, is there joy? We're not being joyful for the loss, but we maintain our joy because joy is found in the Holy Ghost. And we realize that we still have the Holy Ghost even if we've lost some things. So what happens in our time of loss? What happens in our time of temptation? What happens in our time of struggle, in our time of pain? Do we feel like we're just going to throw in the towel and we're going to quit and we're on the verge of backsliding all the time? If we are, and we, you know, okay, that's understandable for somebody that's been in church for a few months. But if we've been in church for 15 years or 10 years, and we're contemplating backsliding and throwing it all out the window and throwing the towel in and quitting on God and turning our back on all this kind of stuff because we've gone through some tough times, that lets us know that we're not growing. For 20 years, we haven't grown. If backsliding is an option, if throwing in the towel is an option, if that thought even crosses our mind, it should let us know, I'm not growing. Somewhere along the line, I stopped growing. I kept coming to church, but I stopped growing. I kept singing the songs, but I stopped growing. I danced in the altar, but I stopped growing. The book says this. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, I just want to help us because so often when I preach messages, it seems this is somewhat of a theme in my ministry and pushing people to become greater and encouraging people to become more than what they are. And so many times as I preach this, so many people, they just deflect it that I'm talking to somebody else because I'm growing. He must be talking to somebody else in the room because I'm growing. I'm moving forward. But I want us to get the reality of really where we are today. Because I don't think we should think about ourselves higher than what we really are. We're going to make mistakes there. We're going to fail because we're going to think we're something that we're not. And then why are you going to work on something if you don't feel like you need to work on it? Why are you going to pray and ask God to help you with something if you think you've already got it accomplished? So we need to understand this today. So the book says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together or encourage one another and edify or build up one another. So this lets us know that those that have been in the church the longest shouldn't have any kind of petty disputes. I'm teaching good now. Any kind of grudges, any kind of negative feelings, any kind of bad feelings, any kind of just that negative junk towards one another. Why? Because the book says that we are to encourage one another and build one another up. How are we going to build each other up if we can't stand each other? How are we going to encourage one another if we're constantly tearing one another down? And so here we go. Those that have been in the church the longest should be the ones that are encouraging the most. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I just be real with you right now? Now, this isn't across the board, but let me just tell you from a pastor's heart. Let me tell you something. You want to know who? I want to say this. I want to choose my words carefully here. You want to know who many times causes me to try to see how to word this. Causes the most trouble. Issues, and we got to deal with things, we got to handle things, we got to fix things. You want to know who it is? It's not the new convert. It's not the new convert. The new convert's like, man, I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be saved. Man, what do you want me to do? Yeah, let's do it. I don't care. I just like what I feel here. You want to know who causes me the trouble and who frustrates me as a pastor? It's the people that have been in church for 20 years and have all these issues and negativity and junk in their lives. 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Sitting on a pew, every new converts out worshiping them. You've had 30 years of God blessing you. They've had 30 days of God blessing them. And they're out worshiping us, and we're sitting on a pew like a statue. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not trying to get on to anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. The point I'm trying to make is this. Where did we stop growing? At what point did we stop growing? At what point did we stop having the worship of a new convert? At what point did we stop having that desire to say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and we're going to give people the benefit of the doubt, and if you didn't shake my hand, man, I don't care. I'm just glad to be in church. I'm not going to get mad at you and upset at you and this and that and the other. I'm not going to be jealous at you and hate you and condemn you and criticize you. Where was it along the line somewhere that we stopped growing? Because if we were, and we were in church for 20 years or 30 years, then we should be leading the church in encouraging one another. We shouldn't be the ones that are tearing people down. We should be leading the church, and we should be the ones the new converts are looking to and saying, okay, that's the model for how I'm supposed to live and how I'm supposed to treat my brothers and sisters in the Lord. The book says this, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Those that have been in church the longest should have the greatest love in their hearts towards the body of Christ. Hear me? Those that have been in the church the longest should have the greatest love for the body of Christ. Well, I've just seen so many hypocrites in the church, and I've just seen this, and I've just seen that, and I've seen so much junk, and on and on and on and on and on. So I just kind of slip in and slip out, and no. Somewhere along the line, you stopped growing. You stopped growing. Fruit of the Spirit verses in Galatians 5:22, verse 20 and 23 lets us know that those that have been in the church the longest should have lives that are filled, lives that are governed by love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Right? If the Spirit of God has been in us for 30 years, shouldn't the fruits of that Spirit be so much more stronger than somebody that's been in church for only a few years? Shouldn't our lives be governed, filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? And if it's not, it lets us know that somewhere along the line, we stopped growing. We just stopped growing. Just showing up to church doesn't mean we're growing. Dropping a few bucks in the plate doesn't mean we're growing. Clapping our hands doesn't mean we're growing. And so here's what God wants to talk to us about tonight. And I know it's quiet, and I hope we're just taking an introspective look here, and I hope you hear the love in my voice today, because we have to understand where we are. We have to come, Brother Ron, we have to get to a place where we admit, I stopped growing. That doesn't mean I'm backslid. Doesn't mean I'm going to split hell wide open. It just means I stopped growing. I'm going to get honest about that. I'm not going to put a facade on it. I'm not going to put a mask on it. I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm something when I'm not. I realize these verses. I realize even, and there's so many other verses, but I realize just the ones that were read tonight, that somewhere along the line, I've stopped growing. And because of that, I'm going to make up my mind to allow the Spirit of God to lead me. There needs to be a hunger. This is what I was telling. There's got to be a two-way street. The spiritual authority is going to do our best to train and equip, but there has to be that reciprocation. There has to be that willingness to say, yes, lead me. Why are you allowing somebody to lead you? Because I know I stopped growing and I want to grow again. I want to grow again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Just lift your hands for a moment, would you? Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if you could just pray an honest prayer right now. A transparent, honest prayer to God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alabosata. Alabosata. God, help us now. God, help us now. Sataye alala bokoto sotoye. Alabo sataye alala bokoto sotoye. Kataye ya lo bosata ya ya. Kataye ya lo bosata.